What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Chelsea Echo. Welcome to a review of Chelsea 1, Fulham 0. Another win at Stamford Bridge, taking us to a pretty good standing there at home. Unbeaten since, if I can get it correct in front of me, the 28th of October. Up to 9th place as well. Up to dizzying heights of 8th, even, yesterday. I got a bit of a nosebleed at that point. United have got a point against Spurs, which means we're now down to 9th. But still in contention for the European places. It was a game where there was not much to talk about, to be honest. Our game, obviously. The United game on the other hand. Timo Werner got an assist in his first game for Tottenham. So we'll have to see how that goes. We are actually out of 10th for the first time in several months. I'm actually trying to remember the last time we weren't in 10th. I think we went down to 11th with Potter after the Aston Villa game. I think that's what I last remember the last time we weren't in 10th.
We came 12th.
Oh no, there's that then. There you go then. Done. Came 12th. Tried to forget that and get it out of my memory. That would have been quite helpful. But we move on into the game. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Yeah, good. Won a game. Like I said, we got a single digit in front of where we are in the league. It's been a long time. Can't really complain. The Newcastle City game was a fun watch. The other games, other than Everton Villa, have been a fun watch. It's been a pretty chilled weekend. We'll take it.
It's not been a chilled weekend for me, in a good way. I was out on the streets of Cardiff, which was fun. Got back earlier, not feeling 100% now, but hey-ho, we move. And yeah, football's been good. Chelsea got a win. Not my favourite game I've ever watched, but doesn't matter. I thought the goals in that City game were a joke. Bernardo Silva's goal did things to me I didn't think goals could do. Quite enjoyed that Spurs United game when I got back in just now. So, yeah, all good. Looking forward to bed, though.
We'll let you go as soon as possible. Obviously, we've got the Borough preview as well. So make sure you tune into that on the 21st. I think I'm going to put that out. Yeah, we'll go the 21st. Have a little bit of Sunday listening. Next week as well, obviously, another bit of a public service announcement. We've got the Score hosting the show with Simon Phillips next week, giving you a little bit of a mid-transfer window roundup. So if you want to tune into that, make sure that you follow the Chelsea Echo on Twitter and obviously have all your notifications turned on, because that way you know when we're going live and et cetera, because it's going to be a space where you can ask questions. But we'll get straight into it. Chelsea winning 1-0 thanks to a goal from Cole Palmer. Again, a little bit of magic from a man which continues to do so. Tom, you've got that down on your notes. What did you think about Mr. Cole Palmer?
Well, I think the key thing for me, obviously, he's been without a doubt our best player this season. I don't think there's any argument on that. He's a young player. He came over. We all thought it was a bit of a random signing at the time. Obviously, a player with potential, but we've got about 48 of those. So it's like, okay. Didn't know how much he'd actually play and has ended up being key for us. And as I said in the voice note review, that's his fifth penalty. He scored all five of them. He scored a couple of nice goals against Luton. He's got a lot of composure. That's now his eighth Premier League goal, which is obviously A, the most for us this season in the Prem, B, more than our top scorer in the entirety of last season and the season before. He's cooking. Cole Palmer's cooking. And I think as well, a big thing about that was obviously that the Middlesbrough game happened, where that was not his finest hour and a half. And yet he bounced back immediately and okay, it was only a penalty, but he still put it away, composed, did his job, played quite well generally, and yeah, that's Cole Palmer. So I think it's not kind of like a, hopefully it's not just a purple patch, and I suppose elongated purple patch, but he is just a genuinely quality player we've got on our hands, and when we can add in Nkunku back and a proper number nine, then we've got quite an exciting little attack there, I'd say.
I agree. I think one thing that I noticed, and I was actually a bit livid about with Match of the Day, in the second half, he had a few little flicks and a few tricks, which maybe didn't quite come off, but added a little bit of spice to the situation in a game which was, and well, as Chelsea have been for about 5-6 years now, a game where we were dictated by pass, 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 really slow. Let's make sure that the stats show we had 95% possession and 85% pass accuracy, when in reality it needed someone to maybe have a little flick, have a little go. And Cole Palmer made me continue to love football when football statisticians do their best not to. Not talking about stat shaggers like Tom. I'm talking about, you know, the people in the stadiums and in the grounds and in the coaching staff who go, oh, no, you can't take that risk to not lose the ball. Don't do a step over there. It's in their third pitch. Doesn't matter. We don't want to lose the ball. A little bit of spice, a little bit of adventure, and Cole Palmer continues to do that. Toes, what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. I actually thought first half, if I'm honest, up until we got the penalty on the brink of half time, I thought he was anonymous. I thought he was actually really poor for his for what we know that he can do. He didn't really do anything of note, and neither had Sterling. Sterling decided to go over to the other wing where he seems to produce some of his better work, and Palmer fouled him with like a really neat inside pass, little reverse pass, and it was perfect. But that was the first thing he'd kind of done, and that woke him up a bit. I thought second half, like you said, there was a few things he tried. There was a flick over the head of Robinson that was class, and there was one where I don't even know exactly what he did. It was quite Zlatan-esque, to be honest, but it launched up into the air, and in his second touch, with the studs of his right foot, I think he put it into the path of Noni Madueke, and it was, yeah, he's just a player that's enjoying himself, and there's a bit of expression about him, and I agree, I don't want players to have that boring kind of tactical rigidity like people have seen with players like Grealish, where at Villa they look really fun, they were fun to watch, and they've kind of lost maybe that spark and joy and freedom to kind of express themselves, and I like that Palmer has that because it brings about a bit of flair. So yeah, I was impressed by him. I was also a bit annoyed with Match of the Day. I thought it was really lazy. I thought they were really lazy and analysis wise, to be honest, because they honed in on Gallagher for the game. And I actually thought it was probably Enzo and Caicedo's one of their better games as a pairing that we've seen. I thought both of them were really good. Enzo, there's a couple of chances. There's one that he put on a plate for Sterling. I don't know how he missed. And another one that he played a great ball. And both of them were winning the ball back really well. And for Connor, it was one of his more anonymous games, to be honest. There was a moment where he hit the post in the second half. But usually you see him kind of getting around the pitch and breaking up play. And you weren't really seeing that. You were seeing the other two do so. And Connor, I saw actually Poch have a bit of a stern wording in regards to playing it backwards, which is obviously something that's been a bit frustrating repeatedly. So yeah, I was like overall happy with the result more so than the performance, but I wasn't unhappy at the performance either. We've had worse wins than that. I thought Fulham are a decent side. They've given Liverpool a game midweek and that 4-3 the other week, and then even with Arsenal they took 4 points off them all season and we've taken 6, so you know, it was a nice weekend, I thought.
Well, I mean, there's one thing in the notes here which you you touched on briefly in the voice note review, and it was the left back situation. Obviously, speaking of players who maybe didn't have stronger games recently, but you know, did okay yesterday. Obviously, Levi Colwill actually had a few moments where he got a nosebleed when Emil ordered up the pitch, but you could very evidently see that he is not a left back in the slightest. But he had one of his better games, didn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I thought so too. We were seeing a bit more of his passing range that we know he has. He has that in the locker. We saw it on display a lot more at Brighton. And we know he has it. But yeah, there was one he played in behind that was beautiful yesterday. And it was good to see him utilising that. And he was driving forward with the ball. He was showing a bit of bravery, I thought, which was good to see. But yeah, left back wise, obviously we had Chile make his return, which was nice to see. But not a left back. Poch apparently still thinks he's a winger, so I hope that was more of a case of I'm seeing out the game rather than no, he is staying on the wing. And if that is the case, then I think this ownership should be looking at what they were watching yesterday, because I think Robinson's a really good player. I mentioned it in my voice note that I just think he's a really good left back. I've been saying it kind of all season. I did a video on him, or not on him specifically quite recently, but on my Premier League team this season so far, and I have him at left back. I think whenever you watch teams as a pairing, I don't think, other than Salah and Trent, I don't think you could name a better pairing of a fullback and winger than Robinson and Willian this season. I think they give a lot of threat to Fulham. And as much as Cole struggled defensively, I think they couldn't really get at him because I think their right side lacks so much. They're so left. They are so solely down the left, Fulham, and Gusto did a good job with it.
I thought that as well. I mean, on Malo Gusto, though, obviously there was a VAR decision. Tom. Come to you on this one. Was he lucky?
I think he was extremely lucky, yes. But the way I saw it was that it kind of evened out because he got sent off earlier on the season when he shouldn't have been. So he got away with one there. But yeah, if I were a Fulham fan, I'd be very unhappy with that. That was, to me, a pretty obvious red card. It's above, you know, it's obviously studs up. It's quite a long way above the ankle. I think it was a bad tackle. It's obviously not deliberate, but it was a bad tackle. And yeah, he was lucky to stay on the field. But as you say, we've had our fair share of poor decisions and poor red card decisions, especially from that referee. So I don't necessarily think it's like, well, it was lucky at the time, but you know, these things balance out is what I was trying to say there. But yeah, definitely he gets lucky in not getting a red in that game, 100%.
Do you think that Anthony Taylor, you said obviously he had a better game. I think the one, only thing you can notice, I mean, towards the back end, he was making a few decisions which were questionable, I'll be honest.
Yeah, there's one free kick on the edge of the box that he gave Fulham where Cowell won the ball, and I was like, how is that? Has he given that?
Yeah, I mean, surely, right? Surely, when every single side of a stadium in every single Premier League ground boos you as you walk off the pitch, all fans just unanimous in their hate, I think is the only word I can describe it, hate for Anthony Taylor, you pack it in. Like I don't know why he continues to do it, because he clearly just is not up to scratch, but he continues to get opportunities. I don't understand this Anthony Taylor situation. In fact, I don't understand most of PGMOL, well, if I'm being brutally honest.
I'd take a nice booing for 200k a year.
Yeah, well, there is.
They don't get 200k a year.
They do. Premier League refs is between 150 to 250k a year, it's been reported. If we just average that out and say he's on 200, even if he's on 150k a year, yeah, the minimum, I'm taking that to get booed around the country, aren't you? It's a job.
Not really.
It's a job.
You
work once a week. If you cock up enough, they give you a weekend off. It's a lovely job. It's a lovely job. What? Okay, they're going to send me down to the Championship. All right, then. Shame. I get to go around to Europe, ref a few games in Europe. If they demote me, I get a weekend off. I get the summers off. 150, 250k a year. I get booed a bit. Called a bald bastard. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, are you quitting? Because you're bullshit. Who cares?
I mean, that says a lot, though, doesn't it? To do with that whole situation. I mean, it's just like, I just don't understand it. I like the fact they've got that much money to spare when they continuously make those sort of mistakes just goes to show the lack of, I think, credibility, if I'm going to be honest, in terms of the referees. I just think the fact that they're on that sort of money when they make those kind of mistakes continuously, and that's obviously funded. I'm guessing that's funded by the FA. I'd like to do a bit more research into that. Because obviously an FA accredited referee situation. But, you know, I just really do question how PGMOL just continuously to make mistakes like this. But we'll move on from that. Other than people who haven't had big games, which might be considered solid in terms of the referee, Jordi Petrovic, couple of big displays, couple of big saves towards the end of the game. Solid. Robert Sanchez might have trouble getting to the side, eh, Tobes?
Yeah, he's been good. I mean, he hasn't put a foot wrong, has he? I can't really think of anything where I've been really had to be critical about him. I mean, there's a really good save made in the first half in particular from, I think it was Tete came in, didn't he, at the far post. Good bit of work from Robinson again, that was. And then in the second half, there was another one where one of our players slipped and Jimenez had a shot and he got a good hand to that. And he's done that repeatedly since Sanchez has been out. You haven't really noticed either of them. What's nice is that we've had two upgrades on Popadom hands from last season. That man took years off my life. Years, you know, cursing at his chocolate wrists, just palming things in, blasting penalties over the bar, not coming off as a substitute when he's asked. And now I've seen Real Madrid, actually, funny enough, I saw Real Madrid's teams just come out and all the comments are just people saying, yes, Lunin. They all want the third keeper starting. They've had enough of Kepa and they've only had him 5 months. So how do they think we feel? It's been nice having two keepers that are better than Kepa, basically. Sanchez will probably get his place back because I think he's a bit more comfortable with the ball at his feet. But he probably brings me more nerves with the ball at his feet because he is more confident, if that makes sense.
I don't think either are particularly great with their feet, but I think Jordi Petrovic, just if I'm honest, he feels like he's actually just probably a better all-round option. I think I like his presence. I feel a lot more comfortable with him than Sanchez, because Sanchez, despite making some amazing saves and being very consistent in those big saves, some of the lesser chances have gone in the back of the net, or there's been miscommunication, something's not been right. Whereas I felt with Jordi Petrovic has actually been a really nice consistency.
He does the basics,
yeah, and that's what you want. I think if a goalkeeper is just, you don't really notice him almost, they've done a great job. I mean, if the ball's been up that end of the pitch and you don't really notice what they've done, and it's kind of the case, if you can't put a finger on them making a massive error, or even if they're making a massive save, if they're just there and there's a clean sheet at the end of it and it's solid and it's job done, I'd actually much prefer that in terms of quieter performances.
Yeah, I don't want to see our keepers. I just don't want to see them.
Yeah, that's the ideal situation, isn't it? Where you just, you know, the ball's at the other end the entire time. I mean, Tom, where are you sitting? Sanchez or Petrovic?
Well, obviously a bit of recency bias on Petrovic because he's played and he's done all right, and he's played during a spell of football where we've generally been a bit better as well. I don't mind Sanchez, but I do think Petrovic is... The thing about Sanchez is, I always forget this, is that he's only just turned 26. For some reason, when we signed him, I thought he was like 30 already, but he was 25 when we signed him. So he's still quite young himself, but Petrovic's obviously very young. I think he's proven he's an assured keeper, and there's a battle there for who starts in the league and who starts in the cups, if that's how Poch wants to do it, or he just goes, right, you're my keeper and you're playing until you're injured, until you're not. So, yeah, I'm not particularly strong either way. I'm sort of sitting on the fence a little bit, but I think there's a kind of bit to be said about if you're in the jersey already, whether that be because of an injury or whatever, unless you make a big mistake, there's no reason it can't be yours, if that makes sense.
No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. And I think I could see why people might say Sanchez over him, just obviously to play devil's advocates in the situation. Obviously, there's the whole Brighton goalkeeping coach situation, who's at Chelsea. So I have a funny feeling politics might come into play at some point. But again, speaking of quiet displays, but in some cases assured, I've seen on the notes that we're talking about Caicedo and Enzo, and obviously Toes mentioned them briefly earlier. I'm going to have to disagree with what Tobe said about Enzo and Caicedo having really good games. I thought Caicedo was solid. Again, a player where if they're not really noticed and they get their job done in defence midfield, solid. But I'm struggling with Enzo, and I know that's probably in the minority of people in this situation, but he looked better, but I still don't think we've seen the best of the player, which we saw great examples of last year at all. So if someone wants to challenge me on that, please do.
I guess, again, after sitting on the fence with the goalkeeper, I'm sort of sitting on the fence here too. I think the thing with Enzo is he's been largely misused this season. He should be sitting deeper rather than pushing further upfield, I think. And I think there was a little bit more of that. But yeah, I kind of agree with you, Louis, but I also kind of agree with Toes, which is weird because they're completely contradicting opinions. But anyway, he's... The thing is, where his level is so high that when he's not at his best, he's still a very good player. And I think that's kind of what we saw yesterday.
But I would agree with that.
He has more to give, definitely. I think what we saw in his first few games when we were all like, wow, like that pass for the Joao Felix goal, for example, which, okay, obviously he was quite high up for that. But I think he's better sitting deep. He's basically a Jorginho who can run and actually do stuff rather than just sort of pass the ball backwards for five yards all game. I think Caicedo was definitely better. Which was good because I thought he was poor against Borough. So I think it's a classic, really, with these players. Even though Enzo's obviously won a World Cup and Caicedo's, you know, played for Brighton for a couple of seasons, etc., they're still very young. They're kind of going to have those inconsistencies. They're going to have days where they're not quite up for it, whether I agree with that or not, from an attitude perspective, which I don't. It's going to happen, sadly. I think it's a case of that, really. But I think the only way is up. Their level's pretty high, as I've said. So I think they're going to be absolute quality eventually. Hopefully sooner rather than later we'll see that sort of more consistently hitting their top level.
Tobes?
Yeah, Tom, you did just bring up the João Felix assist, and I'm glad you did, because he made that pass. He put that pass on a plate for Sterling in the second half to make it 2-0. That pass, he did carbon copy, left side, perfectly dinked to the back post. Go finish it. I don't know how he didn't finish it. But, well, I can't say I was surprised either that he didn't. But yeah, he made that pass. And there was another one brilliant over the top in the first half that he found Sterling with as well. And I completely agree with you. It's not the best of Enzo, because we've seen how good he can be. And I do agree it is a case of still misprofiling. When he started the game originally, he was further up. I think if I'm honest, I kind of think he ignored what he was supposed to do and actually was getting more involved in build up. And that's why in the first half, there were stages where we were looking a bit better. He was spreading the play and switching it more. I think that's where one of our half chances sort of came from, where Brozier had a good header from one of his crosses. He was the one that was looking to create stuff. And like I said, Palmer only really snapped into life as we won that pen. Before that, it was only those two really you were noticing on the pitch. Like I said, I thought Caicedo was the better of the two. I agree. But in terms of creating and trying to help us go forward and make stuff happen, he was sort of the only one doing that until Palmer took the impetus on himself as well. But yeah, there's more to come because that's a very silly level talent that we've got there. We just need someone that knows how to use him.
Mm. Well, we'll definitely touch on the manager in a moment. But you mentioned a player there, which actually it's not in the notes, and I actually completely forgot because he was very anonymous in a time when he really should be seizing the opportunities to be playing his football, especially with the other centre-forward out for a month. Armando Breuer, what's going on? I don't think he's fully fit. I think there's something there where he's just not quite at the races yet. I thought maybe after that challenge a few games ago, when I think it was at Luton, when I think everyone thought his ACL had gone again very briefly, when he was, you know, rolling around and off the pitch for quite a while.
Oh yeah.
Do you think there's maybe a bit of mental issues there, or do you think he's just not the answer? Do you think he just needs to seize his opportunities more, and he just doesn't maybe have the mental strength to do so?
Bit of both, I'd say. Bit of both. I think he, obviously the injury's not, that's a hard injury to come back from, and he's not really had this sort of the minutes opportunity to get back to speed. Obviously we saw yesterday with De Bruyne that he was a joke, but he's a ridiculous football player, so he doesn't need as much time as others clearly. And I think he's obviously set back quite a lot because he was just starting to hit quite a play better and play more for Chelsea when the injury happened, unfortunately. Now I do question whether maybe that chance has gone, especially with, you know, the links to Osimhen and etc. We realistically will go in for another striker, whether it be now, more likely in the summer. Jackson, I think, is better than Breuer. Generally, I think he's got more potential than Breuer. And then kind of that, you're not going to keep Breuer as a third choice unless you're going to start playing two up front, which I don't think we will anytime soon. So I think his opportunity at Chelsea, as you say, is now to kind of make a claim and actually, no, look, I can do what Jackson can do and be the second string, or even try and push for first choice. But I question whether he has it in him, to be honest. I just think his days at Chelsea might be slightly numbered.
No, I'm fully with you, if I'm honest. And even when we think about maybe with the Luton game put him off, like I can remember the Wolves and the Newcastle games where he was pretty shocking in those as well. And seems to have this tendency to come out wide on the left. I don't understand. Like when strikers, Torres used to do that, and it used to frustrate the life out of me when strikers don't stick between the goalposts, like stay in and around that area, you know, link up a bit, but you don't need to be coming out to the wing and leaving us completely empty in the middle. And Borja seems to do that. And for such a big player, there's no real physical presence with him, or hold up player. Like, I like players from Cobham naturally, but in my opinion, I don't know if it's the injuries that's done him, but he's not good enough. Like, that's called a spade. If Nkunku was fit right now, he wouldn't be getting a look in anyway, and he certainly isn't making the most of his opportunity with Nkunku and Jackson away. If Chelsea want to be on top, they're going to be having players like, even though Jackson has a decent haul return and has some serious potential, having him as a backup's not a bad shout. And then you've got like a full-fledged, you know, world-class number nine starting. But if your plan is to just have Jackson and Brozier, you won't be going anywhere very high anytime soon, I don't think.
I thought there was opportunities where he held the ball up really well. I thought there was three or four in the first half where I thought he did show some physicality. Obviously, let's be honest, the Fulham centre-backs are massive. You know, Tosin's, he's not a little boy. And that was obviously, he was tasked with dealing with Breuer a lot yesterday. But I did notice there was a couple of times where he did hold the ball up and allow Palmer and Sterling to maybe join him a bit more. And he did link it up. But then, you know, like Tobes are saying, you'd find him out on the wing when realistically he should be the man in the box. And other opportunities where, you know, Fulham centre backs had, you know, a lot of free reign. They had a lot of opportunity to sort of just watch the ball come down, get it with their feet, or just knock it on with a light header. And he didn't really challenge them. So, you know, I'm kind of hoping that maybe Pochettino might get hold of him this week in this break and sort of like, look, like, you are a big boy and you've shown you have that physical presence. because he has. He showed it at Southampton. You know, he showed it in his early days at Chelsea, and he showed it throughout the entirety of the youth ranks. There's a player there with a physical presence. He's got the pace, as Tobes has said in the past. You know, he's got all the tools to be a quality centre forward. I'm just hoping he finds them fairly soon with every opportunity he's going to be getting at the moment. But obviously, let us know your thoughts on Armando Broya and the rest of the game. But we're going to wrap up now. And there is one thing we have failed to talk about, and I just think we have to. Where do we start with that mid-game Argyle publicity stunt? In fact, what we're doing right now is we're giving them exactly what they want. We're talking about the film. We may as well say when it's bloody out. Like, what the fuck was that? I do not understand whose idea. Actually, no, I know whose idea it was. It was Bowley's.
Yeah.
But, you know, who went and sat with him and went, do you know what, Todd? I think midway through the game, what you should do is you should have a publicity stunt for a film. And then also, all the banners that are on the back of the shed and obviously on the back of the Copthorne Hotel where it kind of, you know, symbolises a lot of Chelsea and there's a lot of culture on those banners. Yeah, can we just rip it down and stick a movie poster up? It just shows.
It's quite indicative of what we are, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it's
a toy.
Yeah, exactly.
Commercial toy.
Exactly. And it's just showing that there is a real lack of understanding. That's an example of the lack of understanding, which you can now see is kind of running riot throughout Chelsea Football Club. From a footballing standpoint, from a commercial standpoint, I just don't get it. It baffled me. Obviously, I was at the ground, so I didn't actually see it. But when you come up, well, I saw the poster, but I didn't look down at the dugout to see a load of blokes brushing their teeth like the geezer in the 2009-10
season. I was going to say that's not a it's not the first time. To be fair,
he was a trendsetter, wasn't he?
Teeth brushing fan.
He was a trendsetter.
Yeah, I didn't realise in the background. You know, it's Trev.
Yeah,
and his dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like it's stuff like
yeah,
that.
There is it's the Chalobers just in the background of that guy.
No, I don't think there are any two of them. I'd be interested if there was a Chalobah sat in the back of that one as well, because that would maybe being back would have been quite funny. That would have brought it back. But I mean, Tom, like, you just kind of grinned, rolled your eyes, and put your head in your hands. Like, what do you think about it all?
That's a mixture of that and the hangover and the way I deal with a minor thing when I'm yeah, I think Tobes said it well with, you know, the fact that we're a toy, and it's just a bit sellouty, really, which I think we've sort of, and it's not just us, to be fair, the Premier League generally has become a bit like that. I think atmospheres have been more soulless recently, and I think that's sort of something that kind of follows on from that, sadly. But the film itself, also all this, like, this Enzo bag thing, I saw that picture, was it in the week?
Yeah.
Or was it last week?
Yeah, the cat bag.
I was like, what is this? And I kept seeing posts about this bag. And I was like, what? Yeah, it's a bit of a wavy bag. Like, let him do what he wants. And now I've seen what it is and the association with this film, Argyle, or Argyll, whatever, however you say it. I assume it's Argyle. Yeah, maybe a bit annoyed, to be honest. But there we go. I don't see, we shouldn't be putting posters of films and doing things mid-game. If you want to do that stuff, at least do it at half time or before the game or something. Like, during the game is football.
Do it at
the
Dodgers.
It's football time.
Let the Dodgers have it, man.
The Dodgers with their kiss cam and all that shit. Like, that's not football. But as we know, Todd Bowley, he does what he wants.
Yeah, I mean, the worst part of it about it for me is I actually love Matthew Vaughan. Like, I love his films, but I really don't want to see it now. I saw that and I was like, I just don't want anything to do with this. And it's like, the trailer looked great. It's obviously a bit like Kingsman. Like, I was like, oh yeah, I'm all over this. And then now I'm like, nah, I'm all right. I don't want anything to do with it.
I, for one, have bought a cat bag.
Did you?
You bought a cat bag?
Did you?
No. Imagine walking around with that fucking bag.
Well, people will now because of Enzo. But hopefully little kids below the age of 12, not like...
I did think what you thought originally, though. I was like, that's a rogue fashion choice. Like, when did the brand come out with that? And then, yeah, you saw the film, you're like, oh, okay, Enzo's, yeah. Enzo's our poster boy, and they've got the poster boy wearing a film poster bag, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like, but I just want to know what happened in the meeting. Like, when they're sat there and they go, he goes, okay, guys, so obviously my film studio has got a brand new film coming out with Matthew Vaughan. called Argyle. It's pronounced Argyle. Argyle, Argyle, same shit, different day. Anyway, why don't we do some branding opportunities? And then someone's like, yeah, so that's a great idea. That sounds fantastic. It's like, who's looking at that going, actually, as the fan representative on the board, or Daniel Finkelstein going, as someone who understands the football club, I don't think that's a very good idea. But he's there going, no, I don't care. It's going to be fantastic. It's just going to be like when I released all my other films with some great directors and some great producers. It's going to be fantastic. Who's going to stop him? I just need someone to stop him and just say, stop it.
Wait. But let me play devil's advocate for a sec. Are we talking about it?
This is my problem. Now we're talking about it, and it's annoying me even more.
No, I know, but like, people were talking about it. It worked. Did its job.
Oh yeah, from the perspective of what it was,
yeah,
it's absolutely worked. And I think, as we see from,
if anything, us being shit has made it work more.
Exactly, and also I think people being annoyed about things tends to spread more as well. And then obviously there'll be some people who don't care about football who are like, oh, they did that, oh, and it obviously just then gets up into the news and. Like, it's a smart sort of marketing advertising thing, but I don't agree from a Chelsea, a club perspective, yeah. Should not be doing exactly. That in the game. I have no problem with a half-time, or here we're associated with Argyle kind of thing, because no one's listening to that anyway. But during the game, I don't agree, and I don't agree that they should take down, as you say, the sort of historical nature of those sort of posters, flags, parts of Chelsea that have gone down the years, and you put some stupid cat thing on there or whatever it is.
I quite want a cat back now. Well, we're talking about these.
I mean, it's like we've hit the nail on the head where it's like people are getting annoyed. So people are going to talk about it, and obviously there was I think Feroz shared it, where in 2013 there was a similar stunt. I think it was for some Russian music artist, and that went down like a sack of shit then. And they didn't do it since, and they didn't do it before either. So, you know, the whole thing's just a bit like, I do worry about, you know, we were talking about the football in terms of how we feel there's a bit of cultural disparity. And for me, that feels like another example of what we're looking at, where people just don't understand it, and they do not have the people in place to tell them, don't do that, you shouldn't do that. And, you know, we were obviously talking in the past, and obviously if you listen to Final Score, The Score, Gary actually did a whole thing on culture, sort of going, oh, what is the culture of Chelsea? What makes us what we are? And this whole thing about, he was talking specifically about sort of the 60s and 70s, you had that swagger, the Cold Kings of the Kings Road thing, and that kind of was bought into by the players in the 90s who, you know, came to England as well, so it added an international flavour, made us more professional, but you still had that core of Dennis Wise and some English players who showed that, you know, almost that sense of Britishness within a team, but allowed these flair players, this amazing talent, which we saw in like Ruud Gullit, in Gianluca Vialli, Di Matteo, Zola, like all these other amazing players that came. Obviously, there was a strong Italian contingent in that, who kind of anglicised themselves, but still bought into what the club was. And it feels like now, after the end of the Roman era, because this isn't me just talking about Roman Abramovich, just talking about kind of how everything sort of built up across time. And you had every piece of culture all the way through from the 60, like late 60s, early 70s, that went into the 90s, that went into the noughties, that obviously saw Chelsea become a major superpower and what its core was, which was we're a team which everybody hated. But we played good football and it is what it is. We got the job done and we didn't care what anyone else thought. We've now become this thing where everyone needs to like us and it's a plaything and et cetera, et cetera. And it was happening towards the back end of Roman as well. But we're now sort of seeing someone who's gone, all of that, I don't care about your past 100 odd years of history. This is how we're doing things now. And I personally just think it's incredibly dangerous. And obviously it's put other people in the firing line, like Poch, who, you know, maybe rightfully or wrongfully, we were a bit harsh after Borough. I still think, you know, he needs to not say, you know, other teams lost at Middlesbrough and just realise it was a mid-table championship team that have lost their last six games at home before they played us. But, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see. But I can see Tom wants to pass out because he's obviously been on the lash too much. So... we will.
I did want to say, but just after that lovely tale there of sort of Chelsea and things, if you enjoyed that, check out the blueprint for some more in-depth history on Chelsea Football Club.
Whoa, that's great, Brandon. That's fantastic.
So I wasn't asleep. I was listening.
I know you were listening, but I could tell you're kind of there, just midway about. You're about to collapse. You know, I've done here.
Like, I am very.
He's
tired.
He's very tired. So we'll let Tom go. But obviously, guys, please do check out the blueprint. And make sure you check out all the other fantastic stuff on Highway 61, because this has been a Highway 61 Network production. This has been your review of Chelsea 1, Fulham 0. Make sure you engage with the Echo and follow us on our socials. Like I said, Simon Phillips will be doing a transfer special with the Score next Saturday we're looking at. But if you want to get the absolute guarantee of when it is going to be, need to follow us on Twitter and make sure that you have your notifications turned on to come and get involved in that conversation. Please leave us a 5-star review. We very much appreciate it. And we will see you guys for the Borough game. Take care, and we'll see you later.